Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Welcome, Community Fellowship. I'm Pastor Ronald, and I am so happy to be bringing this message this morning. There was a point at which I wasn't very happy about it. I'll share in just a minute. Actually, there were two points this morning when I got a text from Pastor James says, "Hey, the air conditioning's not working at the church." That's not all it wasn't working. You wouldn't believe what folks went through this morning to get this building and these facilities ready for church. Air conditioning work didn't work. The stage lighting didn't work. The computer didn't work. The Lord must really be planning some good things this morning, because Satan was coming at us big time in lots of ways. If you see Andrew Webster sometime this week, thank him for coming up here, dropping everything, and getting our air conditioning working. It's having a hard time keeping up, so you are getting caught up, because we're not. It just started working before people got here, but it's doing its best. So thank David Webster. Andrew, and you know, some of our guys like Jake back there and Timothy worked diligently getting all the rest of the stuff working. And it takes a team to do what we do here on Sunday morning. I praise God for all those who pour themselves out for that. 2 weeks ago, Pastor James challenged us regarding the call to discipleship. Philip challenged us last week regarding the commitment to discipleship. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the cost of discipleship. And when Pastor James brought this idea for this three-part series to Philip and I, for whatever ridiculous reason, I quickly volunteered to do the cost of discipleship. And it wasn't until I sat down to really start thinking through what the Lord would have me say that I thought, what on earth did I get myself into? This is depressing to talk about the cost of discipleship. Really, doesn't sound like much fun, the cost of discipleship. Now, Philip got us into the passage in Matthew last week where we heard Jesus talk about the cost, right? Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. It really sounds depressing. And that's the topic for this morning. You know, there's a tendency for us when we think about those things, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus, to think about all of the folks who've given up their lives, the martyrs who died for the faith. And that's a good thing for us to ponder, but the truth is, that's not really where you and I are at, right? I mean, it's very, very unlikely that any one of us is going to be called to actually die for our faith. So maybe that's not really where we want to concentrate our thoughts this morning. We want to come a little closer to what is real for us than that. And though our culture is growing in its hostility toward Christianity and towards Christians, we're still far from the conditions that would call on us to truly be damaged in some way physically for our faith. However, it would still be great for us to be challenged And we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. And it maybe not so much are we willing to die for our faith, although that's a good one to answer. Maybe something more practical, like what are we willing to give for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of furthering His kingdom here on earth? And maybe a corollary to that might be, are we currently giving anything at all? We're going to play a little Tim Tebow clip here that'll challenge you. Tim, I'm going to let Tim challenge you in that regard. It's very brief. Let's play that clip.
That I think one of the most disappointing things in my life is that my greatest form of suffering has been for a game. Like, do you know how many days when you want to be a good athlete or a better athlete that you do something you don't want to do? You wake up. You don't want to wake up. You go train, and you go a little bit harder and a little bit further and a little bit tougher with a little bit more determination just so I could be a little bit better at this thing. And then when you think about it, it's just a stupid game. And yes, I know we love it, but it's literally taking a fake pigskin and putting inside a rectangle inside another rectangle. And you're like, I'm willing to suffer so much for this, but yet we're so rarely willing to suffer for eternal things. And if my life ends and my greatest form of suffering was to make a team or score a touchdown, I have missed the mark.
You get that, folks? You get that, folks? We do choose to suffer for something, for multiple somethings in our life. And too often, the things that we suffer for are self-serving, self-gratifying. They're to lift us up as opposed to lift up Christ. Are you willing to suffer, though, for eternal things, for things that really matter? If your life ended today and you found yourself standing at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of your life, what would you have to show as evidence that you chose to follow Jesus? That's essentially what Tim's challenging us to think about. You know, that likely won't happen for us today, but guess what? It will happen for every last one of you in this room someday. You will be in that position. So it's worth thinking about. We're going to start by looking at that same passage that Philip took us through last week from Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. Let's read that. Then Jesus said to his disciples, that's you guys, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done. Do you catch that last sentence? Because that's the same thing Tim Tebow was talking about a while ago, the same thing I was talking about, standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to give an account. And believe it or not, Scripture tells us that the faithful are going to be rewarded for the good things they have done. Now, I want to make this very, very crystal clear. You cannot do enough good things to get to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. But Jesus is very clear. He has rewards for those who, after already accepting the gift of heaven, choose to follow Him faithfully and live a life of sacrifice for Him to do the things he calls us to do, to live selflessly, he has rewards for those. Now, I can't identify what those are, but you can bet they're better than anything we could imagine here on earth. The things that we work tirelessly for and give ourselves for on earth that prove to be fleeting and meaningless, they're going to be wonderful. And I want to be in line for some of that, whatever it is. You know, if it's something Jesus has to give, it's going to be good. So there you go. Jesus calls us to die to earthly, fleeting self-gratification and choose life in him. True life. True life. Not the literal death of a martyr. Like I said, few of us are going to be called to that. But we are still called to give up our selfish lives and take up a selfless life that is geared toward him. Unfortunately, we take that call much too lightly, because after all, like I said earlier, we're not earning our way to heaven. That's a gift. Once you've accepted the gift that Christ has given you, you've got your ticket, right? Why do anything else? You got your ticket. It's stamped. Going to heaven. Going to spend eternity with Jesus. Yeah. But are you going to be ashamed when you get there that you didn't do more, that you didn't serve him better, that you didn't do the things that he laid on your heart to do? It's called cheap grace, and we're often guilty of encouraging cheap grace. Pray this prayer, say these words, confess and believe, and you will be saved. And too often we leave it at that. When in truth, that is just the beginning. That is just the beginning. When we come to true saving faith in Christ Jesus, we come to realize that we are no longer our own, that we belong to Jesus. So, Pastor Ronald, is Jesus saying that I have to give up living my life as I want to, that I should not dream my own dreams, that or plan my own plans, or as culture currently puts it, do me? Is that what Jesus is saying? I can't do me anymore? Yes, that is. That is what Jesus is saying. You don't do you. You do Jesus. Once you've come to him, you do Jesus. When you come to him as your Savior, you are saying, Jesus, I accept that you bought me with your shed blood, and I recognize that I now belong to you, and you own me. That's what it is to come to Jesus, and that's what it is to follow him. What is the cost of discipleship? Only your life. And to be more specific, your selfish life. Your selfish life. The life you live apart from Jesus. That's what it's going to cost you. Following Jesus will cost you your selfish identity, your selfish ways, your selfish expenditures, your selfish indulgences, your selfish pastimes. It will cost you doing you as you instead do Jesus. Is that so bad? Is it really so bad? Let's look back at Matthew 16, verse 25, which in part says, whoever loses their life for me will find it. You see, you give up your selfish life, and instead you find the life that really counts. You give up the life that actually leads to death, and you pick up the life that leads to true life. The cost of following Jesus is giving up what you won't get to keep anyway. Right? Those things we strive for here on earth, you don't get to keep. You don't get to take them with you, whether it's fame or fortune or whatever. You leave it behind when you die. Some of it you leave behind before you die. It leaves you. There's a missionary named Jim Elliot. He and his three friends who were striving to reach a remote tribe in South America died doing so. They were killed by the very folks they were trying to take Jesus to. But at some earlier point in Jim Elliot's life, he made a quote that it sticks with me, and it encapsulates everything we're talking about today in one sentence. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What can you not keep? Your earthly life. You don't get to keep it anyway. Your selfish ways, you don't get to keep those. The money you make doing whatever you do, you don't get to keep that either. So be willing to give it up. Because you give it up to take up a life that you cannot lose, that nobody can take away from you. You gain eternal life in heaven with Jesus, your maker, your savior, the one who is the lover of your soul, who knows better than you do what's good for you. Life of eternity with him. That's a pretty darn good exchange. The cost of discipleship is the cost of giving up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose. Paul put it this way. Paul is, you know, he gets really passionate, and I'm getting pretty passionate myself this morning. So Paul is passionate. So in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 11, hear his passion. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. In the time we have remaining, I want us to look at some very practical ways in which we can and should deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Like Paul, we should consider what we give up for Christ as mere garbage left behind, so that we can take up and live out the righteousness that Jesus freely gives us. What Jesus calls us to give up pales in comparison to what Jesus holds in store for those who follow him. I love a passage from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus urges us to stop storing up treasures on earth and store up treasures in heaven. That's pretty good exchange, trading earthly treasures for heavenly treasures. Let's look at Matthew 6. And if you've got your Bibles with you today, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. If you've got a pen in hand and you haven't marked this verse already, mark it. Mark it. This is key. This is key. Starting in verse 19, we'll read through verse 21. That's of Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The selfish lives we lead before coming to Christ as his followers can be boiled down to storing up treasures for ourselves here on earth in various forms. We take none of those with us when we depart the earth. Can you imagine standing before Jesus at the judgment seat and telling him about your stock portfolio or your bank account or your business dealings or the fame you got as a great quarterback or the songs you sing as a, you know, rock musician? I don't know. You name it. What do you dream about for yourself in a selfish way? Can you imagine standing before Jesus and bragging on that? I can't either. I can't either. We're going to explore some of those treasures that we tend to hoard. And I thought, you know, maybe I should talk about the ones I know the most about from personal experience. Because there are three that have caused me considerable trouble in my life. Been hurdles to get past. And sometimes I find myself having to re-hurdle the same hurdle again. The three that we're going to talk about are time, talents, and money. Time, talents, and money. Yeah, that's meddling. But I'm going to meddle in my life on your behalf, okay? Many of you are at a stage of life when you cannot see how you could possibly fit anything else into your schedules. You're working a job, or two, or three. Raising kids, which includes dealing with discipline problems, carrying them here, there, and yonder, trying to be attentive to your wife or husband, as well as good neighbor and friend, and fulfill your felt obligations to your church or other civic responsibilities. I'm getting tired just saying all of that. And many of you are right there. Patsy and I were there 35 years ago. And while we were in the midst of that, we were issued an invitation to go to a Bible study. It was my mother who issued the invitation. You don't easily tell your mother no. But that was inside me what I wanted to do. I wanted to say, I'm too busy. But it was my mother. So out of an obligation, we went. Now, this Bible study was taking place in Eagle Lake. You guys know that's 16 miles from here. We had three kids at home dealing with young ages. It involved, you know, loading them up. We couldn't imagine loading them up every week, driving the 16 miles, going for an hour and a half Bible study, get them back home, trying to get them in bed at a decent hour, then doing homework, because it was considerable homework for this Bible study, and then turn around doing it again the next week. So, but we were going to go so that we could say we tried. We got hooked the first week. We got hooked, right? The Lord blessed us with what we learned, just that first lesson, and the being around the other people who are there just absorbing the same scripture we were and just enjoying it. And it's like, you know, we kept going. And it wasn't a burden. Even though we thought we didn't have time for it, it fit right in. And we were blessed by it, not burdened by it. Because it was a matter of doing the things of the Lord, what he wanted us to do. We did that for 10 years. 10 years. We drove three of those years to Eagle Lake, 4 years to Wharton. Now, the last few years, we were here, and I was the teaching director, leading a study of about 60 folks from various churches across the community here. It was wonderful. But then I had a teenager that needed more attention than I was giving him, and I had to quit. And had some other godly priorities to tend to. But that was My point here is when it's of the Lord, even if it looks like you can't squeeze it into your schedule, it will fit. It will fit. And during that time, I also learned, you know, I had more time in my day than I thought I did. Because the Lord led me to start getting up at 5:30 in the morning. I didn't even know people opened their eyes that early at that time in my life. It's like, why would you do that? But I did. I did that so that I could do my Bible study, I could worship, I could pray, and not be disturbed. And the truth is, probably most of you have a time that if you really wanted to do it, you could do it. You can do those things. And that has paid so many dividends in my life, folks. It's amazing. Just last week, I had a young man. He's young to me. He may not think he's that young, but he's young to me. Came up and said, you know, I've been at a stage in my life now, and he's at the stage that we were at 35 years ago. So much going. And he said, Mr. Gertson, I'm ready to do more for Jesus. All right, he's already driving from out of town to worship here on Sunday morning and then coming back to go to Bible study. And he says, I'm ready to do more. Help me figure out what to do. Then a week before that, a lady my age came to me and says, hey, I hear about the Bible study on Tuesday nights of young adults. Do y'all need somebody to help take care of kids? You know, she's just volunteering because she knew there was a need. Many of you are volunteering to help with youth activities on Sunday night, or you're leading Bible studies of your own, or cooking food for people, or giving of your talents, singing in the worship team. Thank you so much for following Jesus in those ways. You are making the time for those things that are important. Have you given the treasure of your time to Jesus? To learn of him, to serve him, to worship him? There's no cost, really. Only dividends. Let's talk about number two. Number two was talents. And by talents, I mean those things that you have a nature for doing well. It's a God-given nature. You may not give him the credit for it, but it's a God-given nature to do certain things well. And believe it or not, every last one of you has one or more of those giftings, those talents. You may not recognize it even yet, but you have things that you can and do well. Who doesn't want to be noticed for what they can do? Whether it be catching or throwing a football, cooking a gourmet meal, making a speech, or lifting the heaviest barbell, running the fastest race, or spiking the volleyball the hardest. We all want to be known for those things that we can do. For me, I was the one who prided myself in leading, and having the courage to stand up and speak in front of a group like I'm doing right now, right? And I suppose this was because God had gifted me with the ability to communicate well. Because I excelled in my communication skills, I was often asked to take on various leadership responsibilities. Add to that, I was good at math, science, engineering. I was called on to serve on various boards, advisory panels, testifying before state legislative committees, being considered for gubernatorial appointment, responding to various speaking engagements, and guess what that all led to? A big head. That's what it led to, a big head. It did. And I thought, wow, I should run for public office. Now, praise God, the Lord gave me just enough wisdom at that time to seek the counsel of a godly man whom I greatly respected. And I thought to myself, if he thinks it's a good idea for me to run, I'm going to run. He didn't. He didn't. In fact, he said, Ronald, you will change. You will not be the person that I know today. And you will not be able to accomplish the things that I believe God has called you to accomplish in politics. It will not be good for you. That was a bitter pill for me to swallow. But praise God, I did swallow it. And to this day, I'm thankful for the advice that godly man gave me. And from that point, I began kind of slowly pulling myself away from the many civic leadership positions that I had allowed myself to be sucked into and turned back to the godly, more godly things, leading small groups, Bible studies, those things that have eternal value as opposed to the fleeting earthly value. Now, I'm not saying nobody's called to be a politician, but I'm not, right? I wasn't, even though I thought for a time I was calling myself is what I was doing. So, did it cost me anything to not run for public office? No, believe me, it didn't cost me anything. In fact, it paid huge benefits for me to not do that. It further blessed me as I returned to the things that really matter. Does Jesus have your talents, your giftings at his disposal? Are you using them to lift high the name of Jesus? I want to talk to the students in the room right now. What are you good at? What are you good at? Have you thought about how God could use your strengths? Are you a good athlete? Are you a natural leader? Are you a smart student? Do you easily make friends? Are you good at seeing the good in others? Find ways of giving those strengths to God. Being his disciple has no age requirements. Following Jesus is for you regardless of your age. Don't know your strengths? That's okay. Just try something. Be unselfish in something. Be generous. Give something you value to someone who needs it. Smile at someone who needs cheering up. That may be the undiscovered talent God wants you to use. Be an encourager. Be a helper. Be a cheerleader for someone who needs cheering up. That's a godly talent. Let's move to number 3 on my personal selfish treasures list. Money. Money. Wow. That's a tough one. In fact, I think I saved it for last because it's really the one that gave me the biggest problem, right? Money. Please don't get me wrong. I have not fully arrived regarding my selfish giving of my time, talents, and money. Those three still come back to haunt me and get in my way on various occasions. I'm trying to share my battles for the sake of demonstrating to you that it's possible to get past those hurdles and be blessed by giving and counting the cost of discipleship. I was raised in a home in a church where tithing was an expectation. Tithing. That may not mean the same to every last one of you, but tithing is an Old Testament requirement, actually. The Israelites were required by the law to bring 10% of their annual income to provide for the temple and the priesthood who didn't actually have a way of living. They were there permanently at the temple doing what was necessary to make the sacrifices and all that surrounded Judaism in the day. So 10%, the tithe was a requirement. It's kind of like a tax on the people to provide for Judaism and the temple worship. There were also offerings, and Believe it or not, and I didn't know this until, I don't know, I may have been in my 40s before I realized there's tithes and offerings are not the same thing. And you often hear them spoken of in Scripture in the same sentence. Give of your tithes and offerings. Well, offerings are what you give over and above the tithe. What does that tell you? There's an expectation that you're going to give more than 10%, or at least the Old Testament, that was the understanding. Well, early on in our marriage, Patsy and I, we really wanted to tithe, but we just really couldn't see our way to it. It's like, you know, we got to be saving up for our kids' college. We got these family vacations planned that we need money for. We need to do new vehicles we need to work toward. It's always something. And we could never get to, or we thought we could never get to, the tithe, the 10%, much less the offerings, which I didn't even know about offerings back then. I thought it was all an offering. So then inadvertently one day, I came to know what some good friends of ours were giving. And I don't remember how I came to know that. It wasn't they told me, but I came to know what they were giving to the same church we were going to at the time. And it was more than double what Patsy and I were giving. And I knew that they were roughly the same income level we were. And that was convicting. It's like, wait, if they can afford that, we should be able to also. And so we sat down and we did. We upped our giving to get almost where they were. I don't know that we got where they were, but we got to where we felt the Lord wanted us to be at that time. And guess what? There were no negative consequences. What we had feared didn't happen. You know, the Lord is good about giving multiple times what you give to Him. He does that. He does that. It may not come back to you in dollars and cents, but it's going to come back to you in blessings of some kind of way. Some years ago, we had saved up enough money, and this, you know, this is one that I prayed about whether to even share this one. But I'm going to, and this is the last element of the message. We had saved up enough money to buy the motor home of our dreams. All right? That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And I for one do not believe you should buy big toys on loans. That's borrowing the future money that God is going to give you for your own self-satisfaction. Now, is that, I'm not sure that's really just the same as using the money He's already given you for your own self-satisfaction. But nevertheless, we got so far as we picked the motorhome out, we got the sheet in front of us to sign on the dotted line to buy it, but we just couldn't quite get that. We just needed to consider it for a while. And as the Lord would have it, we had plans that next week to go to a conference. It was an out-of-state conference called the Jesus Film Briefing. Some of you know what the Jesus Film... This church supports some Jesus Film missionaries. And so we were going to this Jesus Film Briefing, and it's a three-day conference. At the end of that three-day conference, they issue a challenge to the 200 to 300 people who've come from around the country to take in the briefing. They challenge those who are there to make a financial commitment. And then they give you some time to go and pray about it. So Patsy and I, we step outside, sit down on a park bench out there. Both of us have tears streaming down. Streaming down our faces. And we're fearful to say to one another what the Holy Spirit had laid on both of our hearts. And when we finally did speak, turns out We're both fearful over the exact same thing. The Lord had laid on our hearts to give all of that money we saved up for the motorhome for the Jesus Film Project. And we did. We gave it all. We don't have a motorhome. We don't want a motorhome. Okay? And the tears we were shedding that day were not tears of sorrow. Those were tears of joy because of what the Lord was doing in us and because of the gift that He's giving us to allow us to give towards something of eternal value, that people would come to know Jesus through that gift. We have continued to give to Jesus Film Project at significant levels. We give to over a half dozen different missions and ministries. We don't even talk about tithing anymore. Our goal is to give away more than what we keep for ourselves. And it is such a joy to be at a place where we can do that. Such a joy. And you guys know, those of you who know our hearts, know I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on what Jesus did in us. And it is such a joy to serve Him at that level. To love Him with our time, our talents, and our money. Count the cost of your following Jesus. It will cost you your selfish life, but you will receive life in return. Eternal treasure in heaven. And what is so much greater than we could ever expect or ask for than that? Will you give what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose? I'm going to close this in prayer here shortly. After I do, the worship team's going to come up. And while they play the last song, I just want you to ask yourself, have you chosen to give what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose? Have you given your life to Christ? There is no better time than right now to do that. I would ask that if you want to make that statement, that you come forward, stand with me right here on the stage, and your presence here on the stage will make that statement to all who are here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cost that He paid to buy my life, to buy the lives of every person in this room. Heavenly Father, help us not to choose cheap grace, but instead to count the cost of truly giving our lives to You, of being Yours in every way, of giving of our time, our talent, our money, of everything. All that will be garbage if it's not given to You. pray that you would touch the hearts of any person here who is yet to make that choice. May this be the day to choose to follow Jesus. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.